Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach out to us right now at 844-322-2742. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question or a troubling life issue, well, we want to hear from you right now in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know my story, and I think a lot of our listeners know my story, but singing today about how I received Christ back when I was 12 years old and what my life was like for the next 8 years. And I really struggled as a believer. I struggled trying to figure out what the Christian life was all about, how it was really supposed to work. But the two things that I struggled with most were this: how do I stop sinning, and what do I do when I sin? What am I supposed to do after I sin?
Yeah.
And those two questions just haunted me because I never got a good answer. I kept trying to figure it out through my own understanding. And boy, those answers just didn't line up with truth at all, and they just put me in more bondage. And back in those days, I really wanted to know the forgiveness of God. Why? Because I kept sinning. I kept doing it time and time again. At the end of the day, Lord, here I am again. I did it. I did the same thing again, and I'm so sorry, and please forgive me. And I promise I'll never do it again. And then the next night, I'm there. I've done it again. I'm pleading and begging, just doing anything I knew to do to try to get God to say, hey, you're okay. But here's the sad reality, is that I never felt forgiven. All of my efforts led to absolutely nothing, just more frustration, more misery, more guilt, more shame, more fear, those sort of things. I was heaping that stuff on me like nothing. And here's what put my soul at rest, finally. I started going to a Bible study. The Bible study teacher was teaching through the book of Colossians, and this is the verse that put my soul at rest. Colossians 2:13, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses." There it is in black and white. I had been begging for something God had already given me in Christ Jesus. The moment that I believe, the moment that I received Jesus Christ, I received the gift of forgiveness. Anyone who believes in him, as Luke said, as far as Peter's sermon to Cornelius and his household, anyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So the moment I believed at that youth camp when I was 12 years old, I received forgiveness of sins. But nobody told me that that's what I had. Nobody let me know that that was the gift of grace that had been given to me in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's what I had. And because I didn't know it, I kept begging and pleading for something I already had. And then when this verse was read in that Bible study and the teacher explained it, here's what that means, that all of your sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, that's when my soul was put at rest. What are you going to find when you hear truth, when you hear it fully explained about the grace of God? You're going to find rest for your soul. You're going to experience rest for your soul. Well, maybe you're stumped by these two questions. How do I stop sinning? What am I supposed to do when I sin? Well, we invite you to call us today, and let's point you into the Word of God so that you can find rest for your soul. Maybe you've already found rest for your soul. We would love to hear from you as well and to share a positive testimony about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how you've experienced peace by being justified through faith in him.
And the number directly into the studio at Basic Gospel right now at 5 minutes after 3 Central Time is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, again, welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. And as we've said, because you give to support this ministry and the message of grace in Christ Jesus, you have a part in every life that is touched. So our heartfelt thanks to each one of you for your love and your support of this ministry and this message at Basic Gospel. Now, in the month of January, we're going to say thanks for your support with the Top 10, a CD series of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Bible Passages that will encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ and help you grow in His love and grace every day. Well, request your copy of the Top 10 as you make your gift this month at Basic Gospel again. You can donate anytime, now or anytime, at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. Well, again, 844-322-2742. That's the number to call right now.
Well, Bob, I just wanted to make a note about this Top 10 resource. The very first message that you're going to hear is Colossians chapter 2.
Yeah.
That is my favorite passage, and we spend 25 minutes explaining the depths of this. So if your soul is not at rest, you're restless, you're trying to figure out, has God forgiven me or not, this particular message will really put your soul at rest, just as it did mine.
Yeah.
So we want to put this in your hands as our way of saying thank you for supporting this work. It's going to be a wonderful resource, a great encouragement to you to help your roots grow deep into Christ Jesus, and to help you grow in the grace of God that is yours in Christ Jesus as well.
And you get the Top 10 as you make your contribution to support this message of love and grace in the Lord Jesus at Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742, that's the number to dial right now, and let's listen to this call that came in.
Hey guys, it's Ron from Colorado. I've got an off-the-wall question, which will probably come out as personal opinion, but Isaac was between 14 and 19, and Abraham up into his triple digits. Don't you think there would have been some type of struggle between the two? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, Ron, really, thanks for asking that question. It is a unique question, one that we haven't heard here on Basic Gospel, and it's one that I don't think many people would come up with. We read Genesis chapter 2, which is the chapter that your question comes from. We see that God has called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his only son, the son of promise. Of course, there was Ishmael, but he's talking about the son of promise, the son that God had promised to Abraham. Now, Ishmael was something that Abraham tried to help God bring into existence. So Abraham is the child of promise, and through Abraham, the world was going to be blessed. And so that was a promise of hope. That was a promise of excitement, anticipation. How is that going to be? What is that going to look like? We know that through Abraham came Jacob, and then from Jacob came Judah, and then all the way down to Jesus. And Jesus is that seed through whom the world is being blessed today and has been being blessed for 2,000 years. So kind of right in the middle of this, God says to him, now I want you to sacrifice this son of promise. And Abraham says, okay.
Yeah.
And he takes this 3-day journey from where he was to Mount Moriah, and that's present day Jerusalem. You can go and see closely where that would have happened.
Sure. Yeah.
But as Moses kind of records this and tells the story, he tells it as a news anchorman, without much emotion, without much detail. What was going on inside of Abraham? What was he feeling? What was he thinking? What was he sensing? We have nothing about the moment when he picked up the knife and was about to thrust it down into Isaac, his only, that son of promise. What was going on? How would he tell Sarah? What was that going to be like? And then you could just see these wide eyes of Isaac thinking, what in the world is going to go on here? And the fear and all of that. Now, it doesn't say, it doesn't record anything about a struggle between Abraham and Isaac. I don't know that Isaac actually knew that he was going to be the sacrifice. All he knew was that he had heard his dad say before they left for the journey that they were going to be back. So that must have been something that stuck in Isaac's mind. So we just don't know. There's a lot of detail, a lot of information that is simply left to our imagination. I talk about that in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. That takes up a whole chapter in that book. And I ask some of those questions. What was going on in Abraham's mind? What was going on in Isaac's mind? How would Abraham tell Sarah? Mm-hmm. But the Word of God gives us some information. We see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, as the writer of Hebrews is retelling the story or bringing it back to make a point, it says that Abraham reasoned that God had power over death, that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that happened in that three-day journey where that reasoning was taking place. And so when the moment came, Abraham was able to go through with it because he knew that God would bring him back to life,
mm-hmm, right.
That God would keep that promise going forth through Isaac as he had promised years earlier to Abraham.
Yeah.
So Abraham reasoned that God could bring him back to life. Maybe he communicated that to Isaac. We don't know. Like I said, the chapter itself leaves a lot of those details out, a lot of that left to our imagination. But if you want to see how I imagined it, get a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a chapter that will move you and really bring you to a point to see the essence of Christianity, that it's resurrection, that it hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that this message of resurrection, although that word is not used in Genesis 22, its fingerprints are all over that particular passage.
Yeah. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is a wonderful book, friends. If you don't have your copy, we encourage you to pick up one today. You can go to our website, a prominent link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Well, again, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. You can reach out and reach into the studio right now and speak directly with us. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, a life issue, a Bible passage you don't quite understand, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. And, Bob, in the meantime, this question from online listener James, he says, I visited the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem during a tour of Israel in 2015. It was the one and only dark hour of the tour. As I was touring the museum, I could not stop asking, why were these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as described in Daniel 3, so much more important than the hundreds of thousands of Jews who were sent to the Nazi gas chambers, firing squads, ovens, death marches in the winter, or locked and abandoned in railroad boxcars? Where was God as millions perished during Hitler's persecution of 6 to 8 million Jews and non-Jews, political opponents? Christian genocide, of course, is still happening in our present time. Your thoughts on that from James in Ohio.
Well, certainly, Christians are being persecuted, and that persecution is intensifying around the world today. Some statistics have it that 11 are martyred or persecuted or killed every hour, which adds up to about 100,000 Christians every year that are losing their lives simply because they are believers in Christ Jesus and are taking a stand for who they are in Christ Jesus. So it's happening. Now, as far as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being much more important, we know that's not true. We know that there's no one in this world more important than any other person. Why? Because the death of Christ shows the worth of all, that Christ came into this world, he took upon himself the sins of this world, and he died for the world. He not only died for our sins, as John said, but he died for the sins of the whole world. So that puts all of us on equal footing as far as our worth is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
God has deemed every single one of us worthy. So what happens here on planet Earth, whether good or bad, as far as our circumstances are concerned, doesn't determine our worth. The cross of Jesus Christ is what we need to look at to see that all human life is of equal value, and we all stand on equal ground at the foot of the cross.
Yeah.
So why did this event happen back in World War II? Why did the Holocaust take place? Why did the killing of so many in Ukraine during the same time period take place? All we can say, it's the evil of man. And where was God in all of this? Where he's always been. He's always been intervening in world events. As he said to Moses, I will be with you. That's what he says to all of us. I will be with you. That's who God is. He's not somebody that's absent. He's not somebody that, is attending to things in other parts of the universe. His attention is always toward us. Now, in these horrific events like the Holocaust, and you can go all the way back through human history, you just have to look into those stories and you see the places, you see where God was in all of that, how he was moving. Now, could he have stopped all of that? He could have stopped it in a word. Why that happened, that's something we'll figure out down the road. But we know that God causes all things to work together for good, that God has a purpose in this world to bring glory to the Son, and that's what he's all about. He hears our cries, he knows our sufferings, and we know that he was there in the midst of that, comforting people as he comforts you and me.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. If it's roughly 17 after 3, you're hearing the live broadcast, we want to hear from you. But, you know, friends, at Basic Gospel, Bob Christopher is developing a growing list of videos available on our YouTube channel answering many of the questions our listeners have posed over the months and years. For instance, this latest video, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, we hope you'll take advantage of these videos and share them with your family and friends, and you'll find them by visiting YouTube.com/basicgospel. Again, that's YouTube.com/basicgospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Kumbi. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you are so welcome.
Thank you. I'm trying to understand the deity of Jesus Christ, because Scripture says that, in one Scripture, it says that God spoke to the Trinity by saying, let us. Then you hear parts of Scripture that says Jesus was speaking to the Father. I'm trying to understand, is the flesh of Jesus Christ, that is not God. It is what contains inside that flesh is God. I'm just trying to understand, how is the Trinity? Can God be in three different places at one time, being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Well, we certainly see that at Christ's baptism. We hear the voice of the Father. We see the Son being baptized, and we see the Spirit in the form of a dove. So we see the three persons there manifest right there at the baptism of Jesus Christ. But Kumbi, what we need to really understand is that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. Now, how that works, and can we divide and separate those two and put them in separate places? And no, we can't. That God and man came together in the person of Jesus Christ. So he is fully God. He was the Word. He was in the beginning with God. He was God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we understand that he's fully human, that he put aside his deity in some respects and became obedient to the Father, something that a human, he lived as a human being. The things that he said, it was the Father giving him the words to say. The things that he did, it was the Father working through him. So he lived and functioned as a human being, and he was made perfect through that, and so he became the unblemished Lamb of God. He was without sin as a human being. But we need to realize that he is both fully God and fully man. And it shows the compatibility of God and man, which means when we become new, we've been made fully compatible with God because he's fully compatible with us.
Understand. But
does that help?
He died on the cross. Was it God himself that died on the cross, or was it flesh that died on the cross?
Well, can God die?
Yes, who died on the cross?
Yeah, well, that's what I was asking. Do you think God could die?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think Jesus, as the Lamb of God, became the sacrifice for sin, the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. So God didn't die. It says his spirit left his body, and his spirit went to speak the finished work to those who had died in faith before, and he ushered them into the heavenlies. So we know that to be true of Jesus Christ. So that human flesh died on the cross, that body was placed into a borrowed tomb, and then on the third day, that body was raised back to life.
I understand.
Okay.
Now it's clear now. I really, really appreciate that understanding, and well, I appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you, Kumbi. Thank you so much for calling. We certainly appreciate hearing from you. Let me put you on hold. I would love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Thank you.
You hang on, okay?
Final question on today's edition, Bob. This is from Mark. He says, my question is, in 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul refers to himself as formerly, I was a blasphemer, etc. And then in verse 15, he mentions that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. To me, it's a bit confusing. Why would Paul refer to himself in the past tense in 13 and then in the present tense, am, in verse 13? Any insight you can give would be very much appreciated.
Well, it's interesting with everything. It's all about context. He's talking about that God saw him faithful to put him in the ministry, and then he tells his story. He shouldn't have seen him as faithful. Why? Because he was a blasphemer. Yeah. He was a persecutor. He was all of those things against Jesus Christ. He was trying to rid the world of that sect, and yet God saw in Paul, hey, here's a guy that I am going to extend mercy to, and I am going to send him out to be the apostles to the Gentiles. So he's giving that as a prototype, that mm-hmm. example as a prototype. And that's what that word chief really means. It's first. It can be translated as first. And that's what he's saying there in verse 16. But I receive mercy for this reason, that as me, as the first, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Paul says, I was one of those, yeah. and Christ saved me.
Yeah.
So he's talking about that in terms of the great salvation, what this grace of God brought to him, a sinner that turned a blasphemer and a persecutor into a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ.
Mark, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions you'd like us to address, call anytime. That number, of course, is 844-322-2742. That, of course, always good in the U.S. and Canada. We would love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We hope to hear from you. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.